Okay, so we want to know what's freely given to us. And see, we have to grow in the Word. We have to know God's Word. We have to rightly handle it. And then we have to understand how the Spirit deals with us individually. You know, well, we'll get into that later, but I'm going to start there. I'll have to backtrack. Okay, to know, we have to move into God's Word and Spirit. And see, James said, if you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom, and God will give it to you. And He won't reprove you for asking. But notice he said, but don't you be double-minded. That means to be worldly or carnal. He said, because you won't get anything from God. See? So immediately he's saying, if your purposes are self-seeking, you shouldn't even ask God for wisdom. Because He's not going to answer. He was the same one who said, you ask and do not receive. He said, because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. He means you're really self-seeking and you're just trying to get God to give you what you want. And God don't answer those kind of prayers. See, we keep forgetting we're bought with a price and we're not our own anymore. We belong to Him. And we have to consider Him in our life. And you just don't come to God and say, rubber stamp what I want. He don't do that. He'll take the rod to you. You say, you haven't understood who the Lord is, you know, and who the boss is, see? And when you're spiritual and you grow, you understand. You serve God out of duty, not because you want to or you don't want to. These are just moods and phases. You serve God by will, as you love by will. These are not moods and affections. This is why these people are always up and down and back and forth. They're spiritual when they're in the mood, but they're really not spiritual. They're just fanatical and excitable. To be in season or out season means you serve the God, you serve the Lord when you want to, when you don't want to. You obey Him whether it's your will or not once you know it. See, maturity, you understand your duty to God. Nevertheless, Lord, Thy will be done. You can give your opinion. He don't care. You see, that's nice. That's precious. But what I want is, are you going to obey me? See, that's all He's after. Thy will be done on earth. That's what we're to pray. And then He says, do you really mean that? Then I'll start showing you what my will is. See, a lot of people don't pray that because they don't want that. They really should be praying, my will be done on earth. Now you just rubber stamp that for me, God. He will not. Okay. Ephesians 1. As we mature and as we're growing into maturity, here's what he wants us. So James says, ask for wisdom and God will give it to you. And He'll give liberally. It means He won't be stingy with it when you're asking according to His will and you're seeking His will. Ephesians 1:18, we covered that before. Paul, backing up, said that's what he prayed for us, that God the Father would give us spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. So he's saying that his prayer was that God would give us wisdom. Okay, why? And then down here, that the eyes or the heart of your understanding would be enlightened. That your spiritual new man would be enlightened. It means the light goes on. All of a sudden you understand what God's will is and what He wants. And notice what He said? That you may know what is the hope of His calling. See, when you become spiritually mature and you start moving in maturity with the Lord, it means then He will tell you what the hope of His calling is. You'll not only know, as you study Scripture, what His overall plan is for believers and Christians, but then He will get into specifics or individual, what His will is for you, what His hope and calling is for you. And see, many people, many babes, they go in and out and back and forth, and they live most of their life never knowing, really, what God wants for them. They spend their whole life being reproved and spanked and backsliding and coming back, and they don't go on. And some of them never come back. And some of them get reproved so much, they wear God out and He wears them out. That's what He's talking about. You don't want to get to the end of your spiritual life and say, I hope I did God's will. You're already in trouble. You're going to have to be like Paul and say, my race is coming to an end, and I know there's a crown laid up. For I have fought the fight. And I finished my course. He knew. He knew. Peter knew. He said, I must shortly put off my tabernacle. God gave him insight. And He wants to do the same for those who are mature. So see, that's the advantage. Stay in Ephesians. Go to chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, foolish, unlearned, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is? First, you're going to have to know Scripture. You're going to have to grow in the milk of the Word. And then you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to seek God to give you the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is what? We said, for us, wisdom is to know the will of God. Knowledge means to know. Wisdom is to know how. See, knowledge puffs up. Many people have knowledge. You can have perfect knowledge of God's Word and be a fool because you don't put it into practice. Yet you can have knowledge. Many people go to hell with knowledge. Many people go to hell saying, Lord, Lord, and believing He's the Lord. But He says, but you didn't do the will of my Father. They weren't wise because they didn't do what He said. But they heard. See? Knowledge puffs up. But if you have wisdom, you'd never be puffed up. Wisdom would tell you, don't get puffed up because God will humble you. He'll take the belt to you. He'll humiliate you. He resists the proud. It means He comes against them. But He gives grace to the humble. So see, if you have wisdom, you'd say, I dare not get puffed up. If you think you know, then you say, I don't know enough. And you thank God for what you know and what He reveals. But then you say, like Jesus said, when you've done everything that's commanded of you, He says, then you should say, I'm an unprofitable servant. He's simply saying, you're not perfect and you haven't done enough, so don't brag about it. See, that's what He's saying. You know, it's an attitude of staying humble. That's what the word meek means. He dwells with meek people. Meek people. It goes along close with humble. It means it depends. The word meekness means dependence on. We're not independent of God. Moses was the meekest man on earth, but he was the strongest. Jesus said, come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And he knew God better than anybody. And he says, and the Father always hears me when I pray. Why? He was meek and obedient. So meekness is not weakness. It means you depend on God. You recognize that everything you get comes from Him. That Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That we understand that even the good we do has to be God in us. And we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. So we ask for wisdom. And we don't say, I have wisdom. Scripture says, cease from your own wisdom and your own understanding. So that's the natural man. He said, come to God. But he said, he'll give it. See, if the conditions are met, he'll give it. So he's saying what? Don't be foolish, but understanding what the will of God is. So he's saying, if you don't know God's will, you're acting in a foolish state. That we're to pray and find God's will. And again, there are many principles that we taught, and we can't cover them all here. We'll cover a few of them. Okay, quickly. Before you can do God's will, you must know His Word, okay? Or His will. Before you can do it, you have to know it. And a lot of people are running around asking God His will, and they're not studying Scripture. They're not going to get nothing. He doesn't give anything to lazy people. Study Scripture. You'll never find God called anybody that was lazy or in rebellion. Go back. Study Scripture. He called people who were busy about something. You know? They were trying at something. They may have been stupid and ignorant and deceived, but they were trying at something. Even Paul was persecuting the church, but he was a zealot, wasn't he? And God looked at him and said, just imagine what he's going to do when I get a hold of him. If he's a zealot now, what do you think he's going to be like when I finish with him? See? So God looked. Look at Cornelius, a Gentile who did not know God the way we think he knew him. He didn't know him. He knew the God of the Jews, but he was a Gentile. And yet God looked at him and sent an angel to him to give him the message of salvation because he said, your good deeds and your prayers have come up before me. He called him a righteous man in the light he had. And as soon as he got the true light, he received it. The eunuch of Ethiopia came all the way up. He was a faithful proselyte. And that's why the angel and the Spirit of the Lord sent Philip to him and said, give him the gospel. He's been faithful in little, I'll give him much. See, that's the principle of the kingdom. But the Pharisees, who rejected the law and mixed the law and were hypocrites and snakes and vipers and fools, Jesus taught them in parables so they wouldn't understand the truth. He fulfilled God's word in Isaiah. God said to the servant of the Lord, who was Jesus, go and stop their ears so they can't hear and blind their eyes so they can't see. And then Jesus went so far as to say, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed them unto the simple. And yet the simple followers, he opened their understanding. And the brilliant scribes and lawyers and Pharisees, he talked around in circles. He wouldn't answer them. They wanted to haggle religion. He didn't. They wanted to haggle points of the law. And he said, why don't you obey it? He said, search the scriptures because they speak of me. They had perverted the scriptures so they couldn't see Jesus when he came. Had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. But see, God didn't enlighten them because they were faithless to the word and they were the leaders and shepherds of Israel, and he judged them and sent them darkness. But the simple, he opened their eyes. That was the purpose of the parables. That some would see and some would be blinded. That was Jesus. He explained why he taught in parables. He said that they won't understand. People think, oh, he don't want them understanding. No. Because they won't humble themselves and come his way. He won't go their way. See? They got to come his way. And if they perverted a little bit of the law, what's the purpose of giving them more? If they were unfaithful to little, why should he extend anything to them? He wouldn't do it. Principle of the kingdom we taught on for 2 or 3 weeks or more. John 14, Gospel of John. We want to mature so we can know the Lord's will and so we can individually follow him. Chapter 14, verse 16. I'm in the right place. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter that will abide with you forever. Go down to verse 26. I misread it. Wrong one. 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now notice, he's been teaching the disciples for 3 years. And they knew a lot of his word. But they still weren't mature to the degree until the Spirit was given, until the new covenant was brought into play. Okay? And notice what he said. He will teach you all things, spiritual things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Let me give you a little secret. The Holy Spirit's not going to teach you if you don't know Scripture. And how is he going to bring to remembrance what you don't know? So if you don't put forth an effort of seriously studying God's Word, don't expect any guidance from God. He'll say, you have the word. When you use that and you apply yourself, then I'll deal. We'll go a little step further. See, people think they're going to sidestep God. There's no quick and easy way, people. There's no cheap, easy way. Nobody's going to lay hands on you and make you spiritual. It never happens. You will be spiritual because you obey God and you endure temptations and you overcome and you put on the armor and you obey him. That's what's going to make you spiritual. Your spirituality is not going to be measured by how much you know, but how much you give up your life to the Lord. See, that's why a lot of people have mental knowledge, and they know God's word, but they're not spiritual, because they don't obey God. They never obey him when it's important. So they're not spiritual. They're yet carnal, but they have knowledge. They're more in the more dangerous situation than the one who has none. Okay, go over to chapter 16, same book. Verse 12 and 13, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He couldn't tell even the disciples things, but he said when the Holy Ghost came, he was going to do something. It's apostolic teaching fulfills everything that Jesus said. Apostolic teaching puts the cap on everything. That's the epistles. So you can't understand the law. You can't understand even the Gospels without it. They're the more mature things. See, that's when you have to know how to put it together. And notice what he says. You can't bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. So we're continually being matured and taught the things of God. We don't get to the place in this life where we've arrived. We can be spiritually mature and know how to be guided by the Lord, but we're going to go on to deeper things. And God will require more. And he will reveal more as it suits him as the person goes on. Okay, quickly. So we need to know the will of God. We can't know the will of God until we study Scripture and start applying it. But when we say know the will, the babe, there's two classes of people. There's the baby Christian, and there's the person who has the knowledge or who was once spiritual or mature, who's not following the Lord anymore and God's will. He's carnal now. He'd be called a babe even though he has knowledge. See, because he's not obeying it. He can only know the general word of God then. And we have to know the general word of God. What is the general word of God that all baby Christians know and should know? You should not murder. You should not steal. You don't have to be taught these things. Your own conscience says what? You don't do this. You don't do that. See? The word of God says what? Do no ill will toward your neighbor. Love God. Keep his commandments. The whole duty of man. Fear God. Love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you. When you don't know God's specific will, you do his general will. When in question, it's God's will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But there is the specific will of God that God doesn't want certain people saved because they've blasphemed his spirit. And they've gone too far. And they've hardened him. But see, you may not know that. So when you don't know, you just generally give the word of God. It's God's will to do good unto all men. Especially the household of faith. But his specific will is not to do good to a backslider who's carnal and self-seeking, and because he's already spoken on the subject. He should only eat with them. See, he's already spoken on the subject. You don't need no clear word of God. He's already told him what to do. So the general will of God is revealed how? Here. And you learn his principles. He never alters his principles. The specific word of God will never override the general word of God. They're always in agreement. The Spirit and the Word always agree. He just gives us something else. So as a baby Christian, and as we go and we study Scripture, that we can rightly put it together, that we can understand it, and we all can see the general will of God. It's in simple terms. Love your neighbor as yourself, and do man no evil. When in question about the general word of God, it's always what? To be righteous, holy, and good. You never have to question that. You know? See, your moral conscience will tell you this. If you were saved, God cleansed your conscience. And if you haven't seared your conscience will dictate this to you. See, your conscience that's purified and cleansed is in agreement with God's Word. It's the inner law. And it'll either accuse you or excuse you according to what you know, too. But see, there's that inner witness. You don't have to be taught, don't lie, cheat and steal and murder and all this. You already know that. And the general will of God reveals this. So he's simply saying what? God, the Holy Spirit, will never tell you to murder somebody. Now, he might tell government to kill you and execute justice, but murder is self-seeking. So he can't do that. Even God does not murder people. He kills people. See, it's judicial. It's different. He'll never tell you to lie. The ends will never justify the means. This is a lot of false teachers going around and compromising ministers. They sacrifice the truth to win people to God. God calls it evil. No good can come out of evil. The ends will not justify the means. That's why many people will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I do many wonderful things? And he never challenged whether they did or not. He simply said, what? You're cursed to my Father. You did not do his will. See, in their personal life, they didn't obey God. Didn't matter if what they did was true or false. He simply said, that's not the question. He says, you're cursed of my Father because you did not do his will. We better know the will of God. Okay, so this is the general word. You're not going to rarely get the specific word. It can happen. I'm talking about the general principles of God. There are exceptions, but the exception never counters his word. God can give you a clear word, even a babe at times when he sees it's necessary. But if they're lazy and you don't study Scripture and you're not applying yourself, don't expect anything extraordinary from God because you're not going to get it. He's going to say you're not faithful to what you've been given. When you're faithful to that, we'll talk about the next step. Okay? See, people run around wanting personal prophecies. And that's why they get demonic spirits and lying prophecies. See, if they read and understood Scripture, they'd be able to understand that these are false teachings that are appealing to their own nature. Tell them what they want to hear. Okay? Okay, so we want to know the general Word of God. You have to know the general Word of God before you can even move into the mature state. Okay, when we start to grow in the Lord, then we want to know the specific Word of God. Okay? We need the specific Word of God. The individual guidance is what we're talking about. God speaking to us individually. where our lot is and what He requires of us. Okay, my individual will for me is to teach you. And He's revealed that to me. And my opinion and choice was, I don't like public ministry and I don't want to do it. And God says, isn't that wonderful? Well, I don't need your opinion. I need you to obey me. So see, I know His will. And He's revealed His will in certain areas, so I know what He requires of me. Or I wouldn't be here teaching you. It'd be very simple. But I know my duty. And I know what He wants of me. So see, the specific will of God tells me this. See? Or I wouldn't know. And when He sent me to Montana to pray for several years, He told me to go. And He made it plain to me. That was specific. And then He confirms it. And all the will of God and the wisdom of God is always pure and peaceable. If you're in obedience, you have a peace about it. You may not like it. You may not want to do it. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, did He? He said, if there's any other way, and the Father basically replied, there's not. He says, nevertheless, your will be done. See? I delight to do thy will. I may not enjoy all the process. Rejoice, He said, and count it all joy when you fall into great temptation. Well, you don't like being beaten. Unless you're a masochist, then you got a demon. You don't like, nobody likes people talking about you and putting you down and misunderstanding you. But Jesus said, that's your lot as a Christian. So we can rejoice in that, but we can have sorrow at the same time. He said, rejoice. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. It means if you suffer for me and my word's sake, He says, I'm looking at this. And He says, you glorify God. But it still hurts. So you can have joy and sorrow. You cannot have happiness and sorrow. Happiness depends on what happens. If you find happiness, you're going to hell. People get shocked when I tell them that. Because Jesus said, he who finds his life will lose it. If you find your life and you do what you want and you get what you want all the time, it means you're doing your thing and not God's. And you're not taking up the cross daily and following Him like He said. And you're not denying yourself. And the cross means what? I die to my will. It means when God reveals His will, you say, it doesn't matter if I like it or not, I obey it. Because He's Lord. See, that's why people can't go on with God. See? When you enter up into the spiritual mode, you understand I'm not my own, I'm His. And if I have to suffer for His name's sake, then He gives grace. You know? But He don't give grace for selfishness and self-seeking. He gives the rod. He gives the rod. See? He's already telling us this. And He would spare us a lot of needless suffering. We don't want to suffer needlessly. Because when you suffer needlessly, you get hardened. And you harden yourself toward God. And your conscience becomes seared. And God hardens Himself toward you. See, it's a consequence, a spiritual principle. God's never hardened a person until they harden themselves toward Him. He's just reacting. He's long-suffering. But it has an end. And that's why we're given all the examples of the children of Israel that wore God out. And Saul wore God out. And many wore God out, and they were cut off. But he was patient. And he was long-suffering, but one day he had enough. And he didn't always want them. See, that's the danger of playing with God's grace. He's the one who sets the times and the seasons. Okay. If we know God's specific will and we start moving in it, then we are a wise builder. We're not a foolish builder. Our foundation is wise. It's built on something. Okay, let me give you an illustration between the general and the specific will. I've done this before, but again, bear with me. Then it's just to remind you. When we get into the second book of Peter, he's going to repeat himself 3 or 4 times and says, everything I'm telling you, you know. But you need to be reminded lest you forget. See, our danger is not often what we know. We need to be reminded and reminded and reminded. Especially the things we don't catch on to or we're not obeying. Don't sidestep the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it and go on with God. Because He'll always bring you back if it's Him working. Now, if it's a lying spirit or a demon, He'll let you forget it. God will not. You're going to either confess it and deal with it and take your punishment and go on, or you're going to be deceived. That's the spiritual principles. And that's why people run around looking for God's will, and the Scripture said they would. They would run to and fro seeking the truth, but they'll never find it because they didn't obey the truth they were given. And yet they run to every spiritual meeting looking for a blessing and looking for a word. And God says it was given to you. You haven't obeyed it. Now go back and obey it, or go back and take your medicine and see if God says it don't apply anymore. But then he'll give you something else to do you won't do, just to test your obedience. See, these people think they're going to find God's will. Let me give you a little secret. When you find God's will, you better do it. There's no democracy with God. If he gives you his will, he intends for you to do it. Don't you be asking. Many people think they're going to ask God, and then when they don't like his will, well, what else you got in your bag? It doesn't work that way. You get deceived. See, he calls it rebellion. See, there are no options. When God gives his will, it must be done, or you must be punished. That's the law of the kingdom. There's a consequence one way or the other. And people don't learn that, and that's why they don't go on. Okay, between the general and specific, the general word of God, when you study the word of God, and you labor in it, and you read it, and you muse, that's what the word meditation, to muse and ponder. And as you keep reading and studying, and you keep your walk right with the Lord, and this simply means you don't willfully do gross sins that agitate God or other people. That's the simplest way I can give it to you. And you'll start to understand the pattern of Scripture. And then you'll say, oh, I understand that. Oh, I understand that. But what happens is, it's like you're building a house. Let's say you build a log home. And you ordered it. And then when you got to the site, you found out it was all in boxes. And I used to live in Montana where they did all this log home building. And they make the whole house and put it together, and then they disassemble it and send it to you on trucks. And then they give you instructions how to put it together. But you still have to lay a foundation for it. And you still have to call the electrician and the plumber. And there's other things you have to do. But they give you this house, and they give you all you need to build the log home. So see, that's what the Word of God does. It gives you everything. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's here. But see, our problem is, as a baby Christian, we pull out one log. And we build on a log. And you don't. You build on the foundation, and you go up. And you have to lay the foundation right. So when you get the specific will of God and you mature, you get the instructions. You get the wisdom of how to put it together. Okay, for instance, and you've heard me say this many times because of the best scripture. You pull out one log and it says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't that scripture? That's a log. But you know, if you don't have this log under it, that log don't work. The log that you have to have under it is what Jesus said. Unless you forgive your brethren his sins from your heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And I used to answer the phone for hours and have many people wonder why they don't get God's forgiveness, wonder why God doesn't talk to them. And the majority of them, I'd always say, do you have aught against a believer? Do you have holding sin and grudges against someone? Yeah. I said, well, all the time you're asking God to forgive you, he can't forgive you. Because you haven't built right. He's already stated. So see, if you rightly handle God's word, you'll look at both sides and says, this log works when this one's right. But this log don't work if I don't get this one right. And so you've got many people asking God to forgive them, and he won't do it. Or what they're doing is, they're confessing their sins, but they're not repenting. They're not really changing. So they're just giving God lip service so he doesn't forgive. You know, see, they haven't, so that won't work. They're mishandling the Word of God. They're quoting a scripture out of context that will not work until it's in harmony with the foundation and the whole building. Let me give you another one. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Boy, well, that's a blanket statement, isn't it? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's the top log. It doesn't work unless you get the bottom one. If you ask anything according to his will, he will hear you. Isn't that interesting? Well, if it's according to his will, it's in his character, and it's in his name, then he will back it. And then you go to the scripture we just talked about. Then you will freely know what things are given you, and you won't be seeking the wrong thing. And running around with this promise and this log saying, God promised me this, God promised me that, and the spiritual looking at you and say, the poor soul, all they got is a log. And they're quoting that scripture for years. And I know people who've done it, and claiming this promise, and claiming this promise, and after several years, they realized it was just a log, and it wasn't in harmony with all of God's Word. But see, they wanted to believe it so bad, they lied to themselves. They wanted to believe it so bad that they made the Scripture say what they wanted to hear. This woman, I can't name her, some of you know her, well, maybe one of you will. run around, never want to hear correction, a word of God or anything, but the first time some idiot comes along and gives her a prophecy of how God's going to bless her, she jumped on that one. But it never came to pass. She got what she wanted, but God didn't back it. It wasn't sound. See, it was self-seeking. God don't answer self-seeking prayers. It's contrary to His nature. You know? You're asking God to sin. It's a dangerous thing to do. Okay? Give you another one. You all hear me quote this one all the time. Okay, you pull this log out. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, isn't that a good one? And most people think delight in the Lord, you go to church and you lift your hands and you sing praises. That ain't delighting yourself in the Lord. Go back to Isaiah. Get the bottom log. It said, this is the delight of the Lord, that you don't find your own pleasures nor speak your own words. Oh, you're not self-seeking. Another one. Get another bottom log. The righteous only desire good. They only desire the will of God. It's your old man and your old woman who desires anything else. And then you'll find out. So you can run with that scripture all you want, and you can pick that little promise box. Go through your promise box. And then look at that promise scripture. Then write on the back the one that you don't want to hear. Then you got a good promise box. Find the condition of that promise. You know? But you don't have to have a promise box. You got a book. It'll tell you if you can put it together. That we will rightly handle the Word of God. And it's not my will that any perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the top log. That's the general will of God. Until that person resists the Holy Ghost and blasphemes the Spirit, then it's not God's will, and you can't redeem them. And God knows who they are. And sometime He'll reveal it. See, that won't apply no more. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They stop there, don't they? They don't read a few verses later. And he that doesn't obey or believe the Son, the wrath of God remains on them. God loves the world, but they're His enemy, and He's going to judge them for their sins and send them to hell. So much for unconditional love. If you're going to tell people about unconditional love, say, oh, that's true. See, that's why I keep telling you. God can extend all the love and grace in the world, and you can still end up in hell because He's still holy and His Word's true. Truth and holiness will endure. But see, the extension of God's grace will not. So God does have goodwill. While we were His enemies, He died for us. And He wants man to repent. But when they resist the Holy Spirit and they refuse His Word, eventually the will of God is not to. His Spirit will not always strive. So see, again, we need to get the logs in the right place. Then the house will be proper. Okay? Moving along. How much time we have? Okay, we're going to finish. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians. Back to chapter... Yeah, 2 Corinthians. Was that... Well, I'll tell you in a minute. 1 Corinthians. I wrote that down wrong. 1 Corinthians. Back to chapter 2. Back up to 13 again in that area. All right, first, remember, said that we need wisdom, that we can know the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, 13. These things, what things that are freely given, we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom speaks or teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spirituals. So he's saying you have to be in the spiritual realm and maturing to understand these things that are given. See, you have to know the specific will of God. You yourself have to move in that. See, God ain't going to put His trip on you. He knows certain trials and tribulations and where you're at and what He has to sanctify in you, and He don't have to mess with someone else. See, you may be the one that He says you can't watch television because you can't guard your eyes. And then you want to run around and tell everybody else it's a sin to watch television. No, it's a sin for you. But some people have wisdom, and they know how to go over there and turn that knob off. And they don't let it control them. See, so God's Word can be to you, you can't watch television. I got rid of 3 of them in my spiritual walk. And never could get them back until the Lord says, you think you can handle it this time? And I said, I guess we'll find out, won't we? after the third time. Well, one day I might have to go a fourth time. Okay? So again, that's God's specific will. He won't allow us to do certain things because He knows our weaknesses in nature, and we better obey Him. See? Other people are not tempted in certain areas, and you are. And God knows that. And if you follow Him, He says, I will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. But if you make provision for the flesh and you don't obey Him, you'll go into defeat and He won't stop you. He will not override your will. See, that's why He warns and He tells us. Okay, so He says what? Verse 14, the natural man, the carnal man, that's what it means, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't understand these things we're talking about. He cannot understand these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, this is why we ask for wisdom. This is why God has to be specific with us at times. This is why He tells you, and He can guide your conscience. See, God often guides the baby Christian by the general will of God, by providential workings, and by his conscience. And if you don't learn that, you'll never go deeper into anything more. See, you don't want revelation. See, because until you learn how your conscience works and what the Word of God's about, you know, you won't be able to discern revelation. You can fall for a false spirit. You won't be able to discern what you're getting. You won't be able to check between the faults. You'll fall for any vision. And any vision and dream is not from God. Anything God can do, Satan can counterfeit. Any method that God uses other than the Holy Ghost, the devil can counterfeit. And he can imitate it very closely. He used Scripture to try to get Jesus to fail, but he twisted it, and Jesus caught him at it. And he caught him at it because he knew Scripture. And he knew when it was misused. And he told the devil, you misused it. But see, Satan knew if I get him to fail, the only reason I can get him on is the Word of God, because that's what he stays in. And there's where I'll have to get him. But see, it didn't work because Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and he obeyed the Father, and the Father warned him and gave him wisdom. And he understood and disobeyed the devil, which he was supposed to do. Okay? And he says what? But he who is spiritual judges, that's the word, judges all things. But he himself is judged of no one. It means he's able to spiritually discern what's going on in his life and what the Holy Spirit's telling him. And when other people speak supposedly under the Spirit and act, he is able often to pick up that this is not. This person may think they're spiritual like Laodicea, but that's contrary to God's Word. So when people propagate themselves or they think they got head knowledge of God's Word without the life, you can pick it up. There's people who can quote the Bible back and forth and they're spiritually illiterate and stupid. But they can quote the Scripture better than you can. Some people have a photographic mind and they can remember Scripture better than I can. But when they start using it, I can tell you where it's coming from, how they handle it, and what they do with it. And then, even if they're clever at that, then the Holy Spirit will reveal their motive and intent when necessary. Why are they doing this? Is it self-seeking? So you can preach the true gospel and get people saved and still be wicked before God. Because you're in it for money. You're in it for a name. You're in it for something other than what God called you for. And yet you can still be preaching the truth. See, there's the danger. It doesn't have to be false. It means you're false, not your message. I'll prove it to you. Judas healed and raised the dead. The rest of the disciples did too for 3 years. But John said he was a thief from the beginning. And no thief has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. He did the commands that Jesus told him to do. Isn't it interesting? So see, we need to remember that. Okay, going on. 1 John, remember we use this a lot. We come back to this because it's very important. 1 John, chapter 2, 27. But the anointing which you have, what's the anointing? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we are born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's giving to us. The anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. He's dwelling in you. This is what He just said, and Paul just said, that we were not given the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God to guide us and to lead us into all wisdom. He said He abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. See, now he's talking about the specific Word of God. He's not saying you don't need teachers. I had some dumb people tell me, you know, now that I've got the Holy Ghost, I don't need to listen to teachers and preachers anymore. That revealed to me they didn't have the Holy Ghost, because they had a stupid spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was a dumb spirit. And I mean stupid. See? See, that ain't what it meant. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Okay, so he's saying what? He'll teach you concerning all things and is true. But notice something. And is not a lie. The Holy Spirit never lies and never bases anything on a lie. And just as he has taught you, abide in him. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit teaches you. He's the Spirit of truth. You have to abide in the truth. And how do you abide in the truth? There's another way. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. God always equates Christ and the Holy Spirit and his word as being in perfect unity. To have Christ is to have the Spirit. To know the Holy Spirit is to know the word of God. See, the work of perfect harmony. Christ came to reveal the word of God and the will of God. And the Holy Spirit comes to reveal the will of Christ and the word of God. They're in perfect harmony. See? So when people tell me they're led of the Spirit and they don't know God's word, I say there's trouble there. Okay. Very quickly. Go back to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to make you dizzy. 1 Corinthians. I keep saying 2. 1 Corinthians. Same chapter. Okay, what does it say? You have the anointing that teaches you and you need no man to teach you. Okay, he's sitting here telling you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go down to verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. What things? The things we just talked about, he's going to follow with. The deep things. He says it right here. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. But they're only for the mature. They're only for the one. What is the anointing teaching? It's going to take you into mature things. But as a baby Christian, the anointing teaches your conscience. Even when you don't know Scripture too well. If you're obeying what you know, then the Spirit can check you. Even when you don't have much knowledge, he can check you. But he wants to guide you into maturity. And you have to know the Word. And you have to obey the Word to be guided into maturity. Okay? How much time we have? 3 minutes. Good. I want to go to one more Scripture. Isaiah. So God wants us to mature. And again, let me remind you, you're either a baby Christian, or you are going back, or you have been mature in knowledge, but you're not obeying it, and you're more deadly and more danger because of accountability. So when you have heard the will of God and you have said in your heart, I don't want to do that and I'm not going to do that, you borderline on hell. This is called a willful spirit against God and a stubborn spirit. And that's what cost King Saul his spiritual life and his life. Because God says it's the spirit of divination. It means you side with the enemy. So when you have heard the will of God and you've determined you're not going to obey it, you're on your way to hell. There's no other way for you. It's just a dangerous place. And sometimes he won't even chasten that person because they revealed their wickedness. They have a stubborn heart. That's a dangerous thing to have with God. It's called a willful spirit. He says he despises it. God despises this. You know, you can say, God, I don't want to do this, and I'm having a hard time doing this, and help me to do it, God, and deal with me. But once you say, I'm not going to do this, I know that's God's will, but I'm not going to do it. You're in danger. You're in more danger than you realize. Okay, Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. I love this scripture. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity... How is he going to give you the bread? You know what one of the blessings was in the Old Covenant? See, that's where the prosperity twists Scripture. Prosperity teachers. They try to get everything out of the Old Testament. God promised materialistic prosperity to some of the people of the Old Covenant because they didn't even know if there was a heaven or hell, most of them. Much of theirs was promised in their life. But they couldn't go on to deep things. It was God's choice. Okay? They couldn't go on to deep things. But you know what he replaced it with in the New Testament? You know what he replaced the prosperity, the material prosperity with? Adversity. Isn't it interesting? The trying of your faith worketh patience, endurance. And then you'll be mature and complete. Money will never make you mature and complete. It never did under the old covenant. He dealt with soulish people. He didn't deal with spiritual people. They didn't have the spirit like we have him. He came on them. He didn't live in them the way he does now. But God didn't require as much from those people. Okay? And notice what he says. And though I give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction. This is when the Lord chastens us and punishes and reproves us and corrects us. That's why we're not to despise it. Notice, though, what else he does. Yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. It means when you take the bread of affliction and the waters of adversity, that you'll begin to recognize the teachers that God sends. So you won't be fighting him. You won't be fighting his reproof. Then he says, then I'll take you on. When you accept my correction, I'll take you deep. And you'll understand the difference between a spiritual teacher and a compromising false teacher. And you won't fall for it. And what does he say? I won't hide them in the corner. Why? For the righteous, it says, all of God's ways are plain, but the wicked shall never understand. That's God's word. Okay, notice what he says. But you, your eyes shall see your teachers. God will do what?